Turn with me to the 20th chapter of John. I've got this verse, a couple in Luke 2. All of them are very familiar to you. Probably covered many times. And then that one in Revelation 9. John chapter 20, and I'll read, I think, only the first verse here. But before I read, would you bow with me as we seek our Lord? Our Father, we've come to know over the years that no preaching is effective without the Spirit of God. No hearing is. Our singing has little meaning to it unless He, Thy Spirit, gives us insight and a heart to appreciate the words, realize we walk there sometimes. We grieve the Spirit at times. Sometimes our hearts are so noisy that dove will not light. And then there are times we eat and can digest and live upon all the corruption around us. And He'll never light in that heart. But only in that soul that delights in Thee is fervent in seeking after. And now, Father, I pray that You might give these, that heart, eyes to see and ears to hear. More, our God, beyond a man's words. And direct us this day by the Spirit of God. For the glory of Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. John chapter 20 and verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now you know the rest of it, of that chapter. You might want to go on and read further later on. Matthew said at the end of the Sabbath, towards the dawning, or as it began to dawn. Now, the old Jewish clock, the day started at 6 in the morning. Romans had it starting at 12 at midnight. But as the Sabbath ended, And it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. And Mark and Luke say very early in the morning. So I want to speak to you this day upon the resurrection was in silence. And then we'll apply that hopefully to our own hearts at being raised as a new creature, transformed from this old world into that one that is above. It's in silence. And then coming to the end of this in Revelation 9. That which was, as Solomon said, is that which is, and that which is that which shall be. So the world is headed back into great darkness. I've had a good number of people ask me in the last couple of months, do you think this is the end of the world? And I say, no, not really. I don't. I think it is the beginning of the end. I think we will see much more outwardly, even to the point one day of persecution. One of the old fellows said, and it was in, it had to be in the 80s in Rocky Mount, he said, the day is coming when we will not be permitted together crossing state lines for a meeting. Well, we've got a little taste of that in the regulating church gatherings now. Now, Christ arose in silence. Pilate, Herod, all Jerusalem lay quietly asleep. For the resurrection was no earth-shattering event, no loud thunder from heaven, no angels sounding of trumpets, just in absolute silence. Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, arose. And on that day, God placed all power and all authority in His hands. Now, He, as God, had that. Colossians, by Him were all things created that are created. Whether they're in heaven or upon earth, whether they are visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, and principalities, and powers, there's your rest, children. All things. It's not government, it's not kings, it's not legislators in control. Everything is in the control of the resurrected Christ. Be it thrones, be it dominions, all things were created by Him and for Him. But this morning there was no town crier. The tomb is empty. Christ has arisen. There was no messenger from God, no herald going down the streets saying the Lord's not here anymore. It's all in the quietness and darkness of early morning, of another, well, before morning really began. There was no morning paper when everybody got up with the headlines, reading, "He who was crucified is now risen." And when the news did get out, like that today, now let me tell you, as I sounded this note a lot of times, he that believes all that he hears has a closed mind to everything else. And there is no deception as great as self-deception, and no blindness as great as he who will not see. Now, I wish I could tell you, if you want to get accurate news, go to. But I don't know where you can go. Not in national setting. But there was, when the paper came out that morning, no news. And when it did come to the knowledge of the religious crowd, the elders, they said to the soldiers, "We'll give you this amount of money. You just say his disciples came and stole his body away while we slept." And they paid him. And the soldiers lied. And that's believed today by the old Orthodox Jew. That man Jesus was not the Christ, and his death proved him not to be what he claimed to be. Because of false news reported. Now, one of the old writers here in America penned these words, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose from the dark domain and lives forever with his saints to reign." Now there's a lot of truth in that. But every foe that the writer's talking about surely is this: up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Surely that he had to mean the devil. Death and hell. But as to the foes visibly seen and audibly heard, he did not rise with a mighty triumph. They're free. They can say whatever they want to say, direct you in whichever path they want to direct you. And if they want you to believe this, they'll bend that way. If they don't, they'll bend the other way. Now, he also defeated sin with a mighty triumph in that on that resurrection morning. You and I don't know. We don't know the fullness of deliverance from sin. It still has a great power, influence, and direction for our lives if we do not yield completely to the Lord. Now, I am quite certain that when he died, and they took him down as a dead man, and they buried him in that tomb, that Satan and his host shouted at his death. For he felt that he had now accomplished his goal. I had one recently to ask none of you, do you think that Satan actually believed that he could conquer God? And I quoted to this one, I paraphrased to this one from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And I said, a proud man or spirit believes he or she can do anything. So yes, I believe he thought, I will ascend. And now his goal has been accomplished by them putting Christ to death. And he now will exalt himself above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14. That man, that son of man that thou, God, intended on being exalted above me lies lifeless in the grave. Now, you've got to step down because we defeated him. Which means that you did not have power to accomplish the purpose for which you sent your son. So I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above the heavens. For he that you said was God in flesh is dead. So I'm sure there was a great shout there. But equally so from the same group was the resurrection morning with a mighty triumph. He has risen. He has defeated the very enemy of God. He has defeated your great enemy. You say, well, it doesn't feel like it at times. I know that. But I remind you afresh and anew of Job, when God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, I can't get to him. You've got a hedge about him. So God's got a hedge about you. And when Satan harassed it, or would tempt, or disturb, it's because God let down a little of the hedge around you, not to destroy you, but to develop you and make you stronger. You got that hedge, I can't get to him. And he did all that, took all away from him. And then he came back and he said, well, you still haven't given me full freedom to attack him with my power. He said, all right, go to it, but spare his life. You can't touch his life. So from head to foot, he was filled with sores and sat in the ash heap, scratching himself with the potsherds. But it was because God would raise up a great trophy there and a testimony and a witness to all the children. I'm in control. And I'm sure Satan and his host trembled that day, though Jerusalem was asleep. As to the mighty triumph, no one knew it, no one, but heaven's host. Herod didn't know it. Pilate didn't, the soldiers didn't, the elders in Jerusalem, nor the synagogue goers and worshipers. They never realized that he arose, nor did they ever, until death seized upon them in the darkness of their night, in the darkness of their light. Now they know. The one we crucified was who he said he was. Way, Proverbs 4, of the wicked is as darkness. And no one knew that he arose. Now, he appeared to Mary here, to the other women, later to the disciples. But had he not revealed himself as the resurrected Jesus, none of them would ever have known. He's still in the same body, but I don't know what the transfiguration did, except remove the veil of flesh that was hiding the glory of God behind it. And they never would have known. Jesus is risen and walks with us, is over there on the shore, and he ate bread and fish with us. And had Jesus never said, Mary, she would have never known, walked out of the garden thinking the gardener didn't know. He had to reveal himself. Now, as was his resurrection, in secrecy and in silence, so was his first appearance when he came to earth. In secrecy and in darkness. Luke chapter number 2. Now I said that his first appearance into the world was in secrecy. But his mother knew about it. How shall this thing be? She asked the messenger of God, and he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And Joseph, her espoused husband, would find out about it. He is willing to take her out of public view and take her as his wife, but the messenger said in a dream, fear not, Joseph, for that which is born or conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So he knew. And then the shepherds know. And then the wise men from the east find out. But now, as to his appearance, in secrecy, in silence, and in darkness, he came the first time. Verse 7 of Luke 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, trying to find a place to sleep for the night. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Darkness. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. Now I love the scriptures and how that in the middle of something they change from they're watching their flock by night and the angel said unto you is born this day. Because the darkness that was in their soul was symbolized by the darkness in Jerusalem, symbolized by the darkness of the night. But when you have that good news, unto you, personally, secretly, in silence, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now the condition in Jerusalem at this time had already been symbolized, typed out in creation. Genesis 1, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It would have remained in darkness had not the Lord spoken, Let there be light. And you would have remained in darkness unless God spoke to your heart by Spirit from the Word. You'd still be in darkness. For that darkness that the earth was in, that was over Jerusalem, is also the condition of everyone born into the world. Ephesians 5:8, ye were sometimes darkness. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why ignorance? Because of the blindness of their heart. So no one, not the shepherds, not Mary, not Joseph, not the wise men, not the disciples, not the children that he would birth into the world, no one would ever have known unless God said, Let there be light. Mary would never have known how this happened. Except the Holy Ghost. And then our Lord comes along and he says to the disciples, Follow me. And so is fulfilled Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, it was not a light over Jerusalem like this glorious beam that was so bright it dispelled all the darkness. It was not that kind of light. And it was not this kind of king or son of God or God in flesh with this crown and halo around him that you see in so many paintings. Not that. In secrecy, in silence he came. And his last appearance after the resurrection was to the great apostle to the Gentiles, to that man that walked in great darkness bound to the religion of the Jews. If you go read carefully the gospel accounts, you'll find this on several occasions. The Passover, the feast of the Jews. Oh, wait, that was God's Passover. No, it had been turned into a religious day and no more. The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. Again, that started off as God's feast, ordained of God for Israel and serve its purpose. But it had been so misconstrued and so brought down to human intelligence that our Lord said the Jews' feast. The feast of the Jews was at hand, but Jesus would not go up thence. He'd later come. And so it is today. All religion still abounds, not as much as it did 50 or 70 years ago, but it still abounds. But at best, it's mainly religion. That which God has given has been so distorted to fit man. Do you know, and here I go again, that instead of reporting facts, the news is more like preachers, and that's why it's out there. They find out what the people like or hate, and then they'll take anything that they get and spin it in the direction of the opinion of the likes of their hearers. It started in the pulpits. We preachers, we found out you can't be so negative in your preaching. You've got to be more positive. You've got to give the people what they want. No. No, I've got to give what you need. And for the very creation explains your life. Darkness over Jerusalem. The morning Christ arose, or the dark hours He arose. Darkness over Jerusalem. The night He arose. And darkness covers your soul and your mind and your natural will and everything about it. And this is explained in creation itself. And the evening and the morning were the first day. You start off in darkness. I started off in darkness. And there would never have been a resurrection morning for us unless God said, "Let the light arise." And then the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in His wing. You were sick, you were afflicted, grieved for sin and your condition. And the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in His wings. One of the old Lutheran hymns that we sing from time to time, "'Tis midnight in the soul of mine, till He, bright morning star, bids darkness flee." That's us. God had to say something in your heart to get the darkness. And it's a lifelong process of light replacing darkness. None of us could handle the brightness of God's glory. So little by little, degree by degree, as you walk in light, you see light. But God, the bright and morning star, had to bid darkness flee from your benighted soul. And Saul headed to Damascus to see more men and women hauled off to prison. Acts 9, suddenly there was a light shined round about him. He said to the king, maybe Acts 26, maybe somewhere there, "O king, a light from heaven brighter than the noonday sun shone above the brightness of the noonday sun." But not only was there light, there had to be a particular call. Mary, fear not. Joseph, do not fear. Shepherds, unto you, not as a group, unto you, each individual in the group. And Saul of Tarsus heard, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." Now, Saul's on his face. But now listen, in that same chapter, there were other men traveling with him, and they stood speechless. But the one that God rang the bell in his heart, he's on his face. They stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. But Saul saw him, and Saul heard him, and a particular voice sounded in their soul. And so in silence from all that is around you, from the world, he works in a repentant heart. Now the first voice you may hear from a holy God is that thundering wall from Mount Sinai and that fire burning. "Thou art guilty. Condemned. Sentenced to an eternal torment." That may thunder in your soul. But when the law has had its perfect work, then there's that gentle, kind, gracious, still, small voice. "Thou art forgiven, my child." If you ever hear that, you'll never be the same. And he, Revelation 22:16, he said, "I am the bright morning star." He, as that morning star in secrecy, arose particularly to you and shined in your heart covered with darkness. God said, Deuteronomy, "My speech shall distill as the dew, and as a small rain upon the herbs." One thing you don't hear is dew. And nobody hears the dew falling except the child of God when they get a right frame of heart and quiet. And that dew falls on the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. They begin to develop. And we as the bride come into my garden and eat of my fruit. As it was then, the world lay in darkness. So once again, darkness has begun creeping up over the world. And you've got to be vigilant to see that it does not cover your soul. I've told you before, I often wonder how far down a child of God can go. I still don't know. And how close to resembling a Christian a lost person can come, I don't know. But children, I do know this. John said, there is a sin unto death. If you're not vigilant in watching and keeping your soul, you may just die. It might not be a physical death for a while, but you'll die. Amos 8, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and will darken the earth in a clear day. Oh, how that sun has shone, given light to this old world. But it's going down quickly, children. We being the last nation to whom the gospel was sent. And you think of all those folk in those heathen lands that are worshiping cows and sticks and stones, carved images. They had the gospel. If you will not make use of, God will remove it. Now the last passage, Revelation chapter number 9. As it was on the resurrection morning, so it was in his first coming. Darkness covered the land, and so shall it be at his last coming. Now, if this does not describe this old world, you'll not find another passage that does. Revelation 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now Christ has that key, but this star surely must mean the wicked one. I've heard some and read some that they believe this was Christ. You'll never convince me, because the key was given. And he opened the bottomless pit. God, keep it locked until it's his time to open it. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Sun's going to go down at noon. Go set in that clear day, and light's going to be removed. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened. No light. No good breath of fresh air by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men, listen, which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. God's give them a new heart. God's training their minds to think correctly, scripturally, rightly. Everybody else in the end is going to receive the mark of the beast in their forehead. Not something that you can see. Everybody know. No more than this is a literal mark. Then I can look at you and say, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, they're a child of God. Well, now I just got to look at your walk and listen to your language. And I'll determine, hopefully right over years, I have confidence that he's a Christian, she's a Christian. Wicked one's going to mess with the minds of men and put his seal there. But if you've got the seal of God in your forehead, then no matter how great the darkness is around you, there'll be light within your dwelling. And let me close with this. The children of God, all of them, will go through periods of darkness throughout life. None will be like the darkness prior to conversion, nor not even compare or come close to the outer darkness of the unconverted in the end. But in your walk like Mary, you'll be headed in darkness to a Savior dead and buried. Now, if you'll just keep walking, it will be at those times that faith is at its greatest height. If you got something that props up what you believe, then faith's not operative in its fullness. But if you got nothing, nothing within, everything outwardly, circumstances all seem contrary to the Word of God, and all you've got is just naked faith, God said it. That's when faith reaches its pinnacle. Nobody is giving you props. And God's going to let you go through darkness so you learn to trust Him in the midnight hour as much as in the noonday sun. God will. And there will be things in your life that will go completely opposite of what you thought God would do. Wait a minute now, let's just don't give up on that so quickly. Let's just hold on, wait and see. Because if I've got the Word of God and the promise of God, how sure a foundation is laid for ye saints of the Lord in His excellent Word. And you just take God at His Word. At times He'll hide His face. It'll be just providence. Now, these times used to create great turmoil in me. The first thing I began to do when I lost any sense of God was, what have I done wrong? Where did I grieve the Spirit of God? I would try and try to find something to repent of in particular. Why has God left me? But now, it doesn't create that problem. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness? Got no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I don't need something internal. I don't need something external. I've got God and his faithfulness to his word. God stripped Abraham down to nothing. He can't bear children, produce children. His wife can't bear children. All he's got is God said. And that's why he's called the father of the faith. And then God said, go take that son that I gave you and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. All he had was that son. In that son, your name will be carried on and his seed will be as the stars of heaven. So Abraham believed that God would raise up that boy from ashes and stand him back on his feet. He told his servants, you wait here while I and the lad go yonder and we will return. For he's about to destroy that son. By night, I think it's the third chapter in the Song of Solomon, by night on my bed I saw him whom my soul loved. I couldn't find him. I got up and went about the city. I asked the watchman, have you seen him? Do you know where I'd find him? They couldn't help me. It was not long until I found him and I held him. But then you come to that time when darkness filled her life due to slothfulness, carelessness, unconcern, negligence in getting up and opening the door to her beloved. And his face was hid. This time, that's in chapter 5, this time when she went about the city, the watchman smote her. Previously, the watchman tried to be a help to her. Now they smote her, and the keepers of the wall took away my veil. So I like a harlot out there walking on the streets. He rose in silence. He came in silence first time. He's coming in silence the second time as a thief in the night. Not to the children. For they'd be watching for him. Somewhere down the road, a voice is going to sound in all the children's hearts. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And you get up and you'll start adorning yourself and getting ready for his appearing. Well, I hope you've heard some little gentle, still voice. Elijah saw the rocks rent and the mountains shake and the fire and the wind. And he said, now, all this came from God, but he said, God, I didn't hear anything God had to say to me in that. But then the Lord spoke, Elijah, what doest thou here? And from that still small voice, he wrapped his face, that mantle around his face, for he knew that's God. And he's got a direct word to me. Keep on and on and on, children. And when you walk in a little patch of darkness, just, if need be, sit still. But if God told you to get to a certain place and darkness came up in between the beginning and the point you want to get to, just keep walking. Every light shine again on your path. And don't get so disturbed and beat yourself up and go to God in this pity party of, why are you doing me like this? I don't know anything I've done. Just keep walking and light will appear again. But don't let careless living bring darkness.